We're back to our Ten Commandments series. And I've mentioned they were written in the order of importance, and the first four of the Ten Commandments are specifically focused on the relationship between God and His people. And the last six are in regard to interpersonal relationships. So we are on the fourth commandment, so it is the last of those that focus on the relationship between God and His people. And so we're going to read that in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Let's read together. It says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." Let me say that again, because I really want it to sit in your brain. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it what?
Holy.
Holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day He rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You so much for Your word. And God, everything You say is with intent. And God, when You command it, we can't just discard it. Lord, You intend it for us. And so, Lord, I pray that we understand what You are asking of us. And God, that we'll embrace Your word and acknowledge, God, You are speaking to me. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. So what I want to do real quick, I want to go over some Old Testament rules for Sabbath. Okay, so these were rules that were implemented. You can find them in Scripture, and I just want to go through these real quick. The first one was no work was allowed. The other, and we read it, rest for all, and they did this for including the animals. We're all resting today. No cooking or food preparation. It had to be cooked before then. No kindling of fire, no buying or selling. Stay in place. They limited travel. They didn't want to travel too far. Keep the day holy. And so they would set it apart for worship and devotion. And then also there was penalty for violation. Check this out. Severe consequences, even some including death. So what we've decided to do as a church today is we're going to find out who we need to stone. Kidding. But there's a modern day approach that even Jews have taken it a step further, where they won't use electricity or electronics. Now, that's not why we have the lights turned down right now. We did that because we don't want to heat up the room even more. But they won't drive or use any transportation. They won't carry anything. They won't handle money. There's no writing or creative work that they do. They completely shut down and rest. Now, who is ready to become an Orthodox Jew in the room? There might be some of you hermits that you're like, man, that sounds like the perfect day. Now, in all seriousness, what we can learn today is God set boundaries for us for the Sabbath. And later in the New Testament, Jesus gives us further direction in our approach to the Sabbath and how we ought to live and walk in it. And so what I want us to agree in today, I want us to accept before we go any further that the majority of us are in violation of the fourth commandment. And our goal should be that we need to understand God's command and set boundaries to follow it. Who embraces that in Jesus' name? Okay, not very many hands went up. Wow. Okay, that's better. So first I want to talk about why God rested. Now, a question that we must ask ourselves, does God need rest? Does God need rest? I want to read Genesis 2, 1 through 3. It says, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed." Everyone say completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because, everyone say, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. So he chose to rest that day. Now, I want to be so clear to you, God didn't rest because he was tired. In Genesis 17, 1, it calls him the Almighty God. In Psalm 147, 5, it says, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. In Isaiah 40, 28, it says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Aren't you thankful we serve a God who doesn't get tired? Think about it this way. Could you imagine serving a God that does get tired, where you're like, God, I am calling on you, the creator, the author of the universe, to help me. And his response is, you know what? You're wearing me out. I need a break. Come back tomorrow. Come back next week. Instead, you and I serve a God who spoke the earth into existence. He is so powerful. He didn't have to work with his hands until he chose to when he made man, but he spoke everything into existence. And later we read in the New Testament that Jesus Christ, check this out, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's Hebrews 1:3. I want you to think about that. God, through Jesus Christ, holds up the universe by the word of his power. Does it say that he's physically holding it up? No, he's holding it up by his spoken word. You know, when we picture God, we often think of the image of Atlas. And you know the image of Atlas, right? Where he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders, and it's clear that he is under strain and pressure. And yet we learn that the entire universe is held by Jesus' word. His word. Think about it this way. The creation and maintenance of the world is not too difficult for God. And so just because he's working a miracle in someone else's life doesn't mean he can't work a miracle in yours. God cares. It's not too great of a task for him. He's not too busy. He's not too tired. He's not too weak or weary. Psalm 33:9 says, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. God rested because his work was completed. You hearing me, church? God rested because his work was completed. And it uses the word there, Shabbat, which means to cease or to stop. And so when God completed his work at creation, he saw that it was good, and he said, okay, stop, we're done. This is it. And so it was very purposeful what God did. He was declaring, this is very good. And so what Jewish culture did was they took the concept of Shabbat and carried it over as Sabbath. And this was a point of contention between Jesus and the Pharisees and how they were operating in that. And so biblically, for you and I to understand the best approach to the Sabbath needs to look no further than studying Jesus Christ. Who believes that is a good rule for their life anyways? Amen? So here's Jesus on the Sabbath. We're going to read Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. It says, one Sabbath he was going through the grain fields and they made their way. His disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, listen to this. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now, we really do need to examine verse 27, because the Sabbath was made for you, who embraces that in Jesus' name. The Sabbath was made for you. God did not make you for it. Are you hearing me? God didn't make you for it. So it is for your benefit to provide rest and spiritual renewal. Its purpose is not just to be this legalistic requirement, but in studying God resting, he sets the example and the precedent of one day a week being set apart as from the rest as a holy day. And so I want you to examine your life and say, am I doing that? I want to think about through the years for just a moment how we have responded to this idea of Sabbath. One of those has been this legalistic approach. And we tend to get legalism when we decide to remove the heart and spirit from the command. And the Pharisees were more guilty of this than anybody. You know, obviously, they were out and they saw the disciples picking the heads of grain. Who knows how far they traveled that day to see that? So they could have been in violation of the Sabbath, but you don't understand. They took it upon themselves that it is my job to see who's in violation. Right? And the problem with legalism is the concern often becomes more about others not following it than whether or not you're following it. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, it says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, I just want to revert back to something real quick, and this is completely aside from my message. As believers, we have to think of ourselves first before we dare point out the truth in others. And a lot of people today have this problem with judgment. And they say, you know what? Doesn't the Bible say, judge lest you be judged? And I'm like, you know what? You finished a third of that sentence. You know? You're missing a great part of this. Because we're judged according to the measure in which we judge. And what we can learn is that we have this responsibility to each other. Okay, we have this responsibility, but they better see the love of Christ in us, and we better have taken time in front of the mirror before we dare think, okay, I need to start pointing out the flaws in everyone else. What usually happens is our obligation, because we feel obligated to it, becomes everyone's obligation. Last Monday, I went to the happiest place on earth. Can't you tell I'm happy? And I can tell you the happiest place on earth now comes at a great cost. So Dad wasn't too happy already, but it's like gonna put on a good face. It's 97 degrees and crazy humid, but we're gonna enjoy every minute of this day. Do you guys hear me? We're going to enjoy every minute. Everyone's doing great. The heat of the day, we're finding places to go into the air conditioning, but we're walking many, many steps. And I heard those immortal words that I knew I'd hear. Can we leave now? And I immediately said, this park is open till 10 o'clock. you are going to enjoy every last minute of this park while I enjoy it as well. I was forcing an obligation, right? I can tell you that didn't go over well. And Isaac and I stayed to watch the fireworks. Things happen. And what I've learned is even if we feel obligated to something that, you know what, we can try and think, you know what, I'm going to see if I can make someone else feel obligated to it too. And then what tends to happen is we think we're winning people to Christ when really what we're doing is we're pushing people away. You hear that? And you think you're going to do that by telling them everything they're doing wrong. We must demonstrate Jesus Christ by how we live. And we do that by aiming to do everything according to His word. You guys hearing me? Because what we tend to do is we tend to often place our spiritual convictions on others. And do you know, unless that you and I are choosing daily to seek the direction of the Holy Spirit, you're only offering condemnation. You're walking in that flesh and you're just like, don't you know God's word says? Well, unless you're speaking on behalf of the Spirit of God, you're just pushing those people away. Imagine you hear this sermon today and you're like, you know what? I need to keep the Sabbath day holy. But you know what? Even more so than me, Brother Bob at church, he doesn't know how to keep the Sabbath day holy. And he misses half the year for work or entertainment or whatever might not be affiliated with church. And so Bob needs to hear what I have to say. And here's the problem with you getting ready to say something to Bob. You've never been attempted to be a friend in his life. And because of your feeble attempts to be Bob's friend or not being a spiritual influence, it's only going to push him away. So what if we instead prayed for fellow believers that they are impacted by the Spirit of God. And they're drawn into the presence of God and they can't get enough of it to where they say, you know what, those other things I'm doing, it's not worth it because God is worth everything, every part of my life. You and I should aim to pray for one another. Because if we really want to, we could examine and expose all of Bob's flaws. But we could expose yours too, and yours might be just different. And here's the other thing. So often we pray for people to learn lessons of punishment for doing wrong. You need to pray solely for the Spirit of God to grab their life. Pray for God to rain down His love, mercy, and grace on them. And you know what? When the Spirit of God sweeps into someone's life, there's not room for sin in the presence of God. And His Spirit naturally convicts us that we say, you know what? I need Him and perfection that comes from the throne. Then the other way we have responded to the Sabbath is there are half-hearted attempts or no application at all. So this is the flip side where there is a whole lot of people who aren't taking God's word very seriously. And I know many who claim Christ, but they're much too busy to rest in the Lord. I don't got time to do that. God's given me a mission, so I'm just busy. I'm busy with everything God has to do. And some do claim a busyness for God. But I want you to grab a hold of this. No one ever hears clearly from God by doing all the talking. Just as you have never honored God by showing Him everything that you can do. But if we learn to wait on the Lord and do as He instructs, then you are going to find it is a lot more valuable than everything you could do on your own. Are you hearing me? I want you to catch this today. Because Martha was guilty of this when her and her sister Mary invited Jesus into their home. And Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His teaching, and Martha got a little irritated at her sister. And I'm going to read you this story, just three verses real quick. It says, Luke 10, 40 through 42, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, 'Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" There is more value in resting at the feet of the Lord, than being busy. Are you guys hearing this? Are you receiving it? Okay. And then there's the other thing that really grates on me. Complaining about being too busy. Church, let's agree on something. With 99% of life, being busy is a choice. It's a choice. Resting in the Lord one day a week is a choice. You guys hearing me? So when you tell me you're too busy, I will tell you that you have the power to say no. And so really it comes down to this question: are you going to make God the priority? That's what it comes down to. Am I going to make God the priority? Am I going to say, you know what? I will completely fill up my calendar 6 days a week as long as I can take that one day and say, I'm sorry, but this is my day that I have intentionally earmarked. No one can touch it. This is a day between me and the Lord, and no one is going to interfere with me resting in the presence of the Spirit of God. Think about it this way. If He is the God of the universe, if He is your Lord and Savior, and you are preparing yourself for eternity, shouldn't you place the utmost importance on what God wants for your life? And I can tell you, I need direction every week. Every week I need to rest in Him. Because what has happened, and this happens even with pastors, so many people, they trade the spiritual mindset for this hedonistic lifestyle of pure entertainment and fleshly desire. And frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it in my own life. To where I've seen, I've been talking about this a lot, I have seen that, especially with my phone, I've given over to this ADD mind where I can't just focus on anything and I can't keep track. And so what I decided to do about 6 weeks ago is I went through my phone and I started setting limits on everything. And then I started examining, okay, what apps are complete time sucks in my life? They completely suck all my time. And so I just started deleting stuff, even though some of it was painful. But you know what I've learned? I've started becoming more attentive. I can focus for a longer period of time. And the amazing thing is, I can sense the Holy Spirit more in my life because I'm not filling it with other junk. You and I must place a priority on resting in God and shutting off the work and the noise and focus on Him at least one day a week. One day. The last thing I want to say on that. Ask yourself this. Can God do more with 6 days in my life than I can do with seven? And so as we choose to examine ourselves, and I'm going to be done here in a minute, what needs to change. We need rest and reflection. We need it. There is this huge benefit to resting in the Lord that many of us avoid. Some rest really well. You rest maybe a little too well. But is it in the Lord? That's what you have to ask yourself. I can rest, but if it is not with God, it's only a physical benefit, not spiritual. Now, I can speak for myself. Can't speak for any of you. I know all too well that busyness leads to burnout. And I can tell you that it is great to have this big agenda, but what if it comes at the risk of not being replenished by the Spirit of God? Think about it that way. If signs of burnout are fatigue, cynicism, detachment, and reduced performance, it's fair to say those characteristics are not reflective of who God is. And so you and I, we can't minister to others with cynicism or a bad attitude. They don't receive God from that. Listen to Galatians 6:9. It says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And let me tell you, one of the greatest ways to make sure that you are not growing weary is to make sure you rest. Resting in Him, it aligns our perspective, and it gives us strength. So the last thing I want to leave you today is I want to give you 10 biblical benefits to keeping the Sabbath. And some of you might want to get out your phones, take a picture of this, just so that you can go through Scripture and meditate on it a little bit later. But these are 10 benefits for you in keeping the Sabbath. The first is a deepened relationship with God. That's from Mark chapter 2, 27. Second, spiritual renewal and rest. Third, increased faith and trust. Fourth, holiness and sanctification. Then gratitude and worship. Sixth, community and fellowship. Seventh, freedom from materialism. Obedience and blessing. Ninth, preparation for eternity. And lastly, inner peace and joy. Church, rest brings greater renewal and impact. You want to be more impactful in your life for the kingdom of God? Rest in Him. The only way, church, that we are going to achieve this truly is when we allow ourselves to be open to the examination of the Holy Spirit and we allow God to speak and show us where we're falling short. Except that you are more effective by resting in the Lord. And you're going to impact more people when you choose to rest in Him. You know, I just want to tell you what I do, because I don't. Sometimes that helps, sometimes it doesn't. But our family practices that everyone rest on Sundays, except me. I work on Sundays, so I gotta do it at another time, and I do that on Fridays. Sunday after church, we come home, we eat, and we rest. Now, we might take a nap, and I seek to meditate on the things of the Lord and give my mind over to Him, and I've found there are times where I give my mind over to other things, and I have started shutting all that out in my life. And then it comes to mind as I'm resting in the Lord, the things that are heavy and pressing in my life. And I release those things to Him. And what I find is that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when I'm resting in Him and when I'm turning these things over to Him and I'm casting all my cares on Him because He cares for me, that I'm being lightened in spirit and strengthened. And I've done this many ways. Shut the TV off. That's one. The other is that I use my phone, and there's this awesome feature called Focus. on Apple phones. And I have made sure that my focus is on at certain times, and particularly at home. That, you know what, I'm sorry, it's a new day and age. Sometimes we are just way too accessible to people. And it can create a much clouded mind. And so there are scheduled times where my phone just shuts off. Because things can wait. Because what we need to do, here's the thing, it's true for you, it's true for me. Our relationship with the Lord is priority. And if we are not walking closely to the Lord, we're of no value to anybody else. And so you have to consider this as God's commandment that is for your benefit. God doesn't command things that are optional. Who knows that? He doesn't command things that are optional. And we're not going to be so rigid that says, you know, it has to be on a Sunday. I just made that as an example. Some people have no choice but to work in our culture on a Sunday. But take one day a week to say, I choose to rest in the Lord. What I want you to do is I just want you to just bow your heads today. And God, I believe that your Spirit has already been ministering here. And there are many in this room, God, that might feel a little bit of guilt for the way they've approached the Sabbath. But God, you made this for us so that we learn the benefit of resting in you. And God, so I pray for each and every person here that where you bring conviction, there is also release and relief. And God, you replace that with peace and joy. And so, God, I pray that if we are living under conviction right now by your Holy Spirit, that, God, we turn those things over to you. And we allow you, God, to fill us with your presence, fill us with your Spirit, and show us that, God, rest is godly. So just by everyone in the room, if God's speaking to you that's like, man, I need to be diligent in giving a day to him, and I have some things to work on. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Praise God. Praise God. God, as we lift up our hands to you right now, Lord, by our acknowledgement, God, you are going to show us the benefit that, God, when we start removing these busy things in our lives, you are going to show us the benefit to giving you a day every week. And that, God, we won't be able to deny it to where, God, in the future, it is not just a command for us. It is our demand that we have a day where we just rest in you every week. And so, God, I thank you for those that are willing to acknowledge, man, I've got stuff to work on. And, God, you are just going to pour out a blessing on those that commit to honoring you with the Sabbath. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said.